Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
At Boar's Head, we've been going back to school for over 115 years. And this year, every school lunch is reason to celebrate with the flavors your kids love and the exceptional quality you expect. Helping you make school lunch fresh, easy, and delicious. Ring the bell. The deli is open. Boar's Head, committed to craft since 1905.
To infinity and beyond!
The Lord tells me he can get me out of this mess, but he's pretty sure you're fucked.
That is why you fail.
You can't handle the truth!
Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe fuck yourself.
Say hello to my little friend!
You'll shoot your eye out, kid.
Say what again? Say what again? I dare you. I double dare you, motherfucker. Say what one more goddamn time.
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
You get our son.
Happy birthday, Molly.
Welcome to Lights, Camera, Barstool, episode 101. So, no more cool countdowns for quite a while. I think we get to 200 like later next year, but it'll happen, obviously.
It's episode 1S.
Yeah.
Yeah.
1XR.
1S Max. Hey, guys, it's Trill Ballins.
Yeah, Trill and Ken Jack.
Wearing a fuzzy jacket.
We'll stick with 101 for now, but you're right. We should probably get cooler names for it. What's up? Anything? Anything big? Anything good going on here?
Are you okay? You sound kind of down. You sound
I'm
sad.
Tired.
Browns didn't lose.
Raise your spirits.
I was going to talk about... Oh, nice.
It's candle season, fellas. Light
What's
your candle.
Scent?
Lemon peel currant. I don't even know what currant is. I just know it's in this candle. It's not very good. It kind of smells like a tailgate.
Yeah, I'm not sure I like that one. I don't know if I'd like that.
I don't know. It's not great, but here I am. I still haven't lit the Pope John Paul II candle.
Forgot about that.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah.
It's here. It's here in my room. I bought a, what's the official word for them? Are they like offering candles or divinity candles?
Church wax.
Yeah, I bought one of those just because I liked it, and it's just here. No disrespect. I just like the candle.
Just like the style of it. I got pumpkin spice on mine. Big fan.
Yeah, we had a really busy week last week. We had episode 100. You can catch Big If True on Sirius XM, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern every day on Barstool Radio, Power 85, Sirius XM.
Well, many people are saying the show's good.
Perfect. Yeah, it's fun so far. It's off to an interesting start. A little tinkering, kind of changed some questions around. People asked for maybe less number questions. That's fine. We hear you on that. I wrote a lot of the ones, obviously not mine, but for like Tyler and PFT and Kenjack. I know you're sticking with video games. You had a tough 0-3 in video games this week, but the question types are going to change. So you're going to stick it out and you're going to give it another go.
I'm going to beat that money line. Gonna beat the money. I'm researching more sales numbers, so I'm not gonna get beat on that shit anymore.
Well, it'd be a shame if we're going away from that and off the character based things.
I'll be fine there too.
I know you would be. The storyline throughout trivia so far is definitely Tyler, though, because Tyler's 3-3 and he is catching flack like he's 0-20. People are giving Tyler a lot of shit. He's 0-2 in cereal, so that's been a bad look for him. But it's been fun, so make sure you check it out. We are still dominating the callers, though, so that's what matters.
Yeah.
Big team effort. Let's see what else. We are going to review Buster Scruggs this episode. I actually think Buster Scruggs now holds the record for quickest movie suggested to be reviewed, like within our group chat, and then removed
so fast.
Like it was about 6 hours, maybe.
And we still. I think we started at the same exact time too, and we both realized that it was a dud, like not a reviewable type movie at the same point too.
Yeah, I'm gonna say 80% of the way through.
I finished it, but I had to scrub parts of it because it just lasts so long.
Mm. It seems like it's one of those movies where people are like not wanting to come out and say they don't like it.
For sure, it's Coen Brothers. People don't want to say they don't like a Coen Brothers movie, which, I mean, let's be real here. They've made some bad, they've made movies that aren't that good. We saw one tweet that said, it was like, it's a tough watch. Yeah, but like, this isn't, like, 12 Years a Slave is a tough watch. At times, A Star is Born can be a tough watch. Like, things that are brutal and real, like, that's tough. Buster Scruggs, I don't know if I would call it a tough watch. Just isn't, isn't that great.
Yeah, I would say like Pacific Rim is a tough watch. If I had to pick like a movie out of like the last like year or so, Pacific Rim Uprising, that was a tough one. I watched it. You know, you fight through some tears, some adversity. That was the one where I struggled very hard to get through it.
That's how I felt with I Feel Pretty. Yeah, I Feel Pretty was a real.
Ooh, I forgot about that one. That was a stinker.
I mean, they've done movies that aren't that great. A lot of people hated Hail Caesar.
Hmm.
You know, they wrote Suburbicon.
Suburbicon was bad.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people didn't like Burn After Reading. So, I mean, it's not like you're not an idiot if you don't like it. Just say you don't like it. You don't have to fake it. I don't know, though. That's just the internet. Woke.
Yo.
We're definitely, I'd say, a little bit woke on this concept that... we're definitely woke on this concept that the people who are film reviewers that are trying to say that it's actually good are just trying to save face with the film critic community because it's like a suck your own dick Hollywood type movie and not for the people. Right, Troll?
Oh, right.
Smoke weed every day.
Yeah, I just got to say, I went in this weekend and created a separate like a digital soundboard to where I have my computer sound piping directly into my microphone for the recording. So that's why I'm going crazy with all these sounds. I'm just on like one of those 2003 soundboards and I'm just doing it. So, all right, I'm going to calm down on that. I'm going to be effective on my drop spots.
I'll get
I want to create an LCB soundboard. So if anybody can do that, like knows that technology, I'd love to have all our drops in there.
Oh, that would be so funny. Imagine if we had that, just even for personal use, it would be hysterical.
Me just saying restaurant.
X-Men.
Let's get into the serious talk here for a second. Fantastic Beasts made less money than Fantastic Beasts 1, got destroyed in the box office by Venom in China. We saw it. We did not like it. I gave it a 62. Kendrick gave it a 57. Is that correct?
Yep.
Not very good, Bob. We'll be reviewing it this week with Mr. Sunday Movies, James. He fucking hated it. Won't get much more into that, but we'll also rank the Harry Potter movies. What do we think here? Does it sound like I'm going to be eating the candy bar off the Elmo? Odds are in my favor at this point.
It almost broke some Chinese record this weekend for like the biggest international opening. I remember being on Venom.
Did we specify which currency?
Ooh. No, we said worldwide gross, right?
Yeah, but like, do we say in dollars? Or could we convert that to yen?
Yeah, put that in renminbi. It's already way past that.
That's cheating. I'm not going to eat that candy bar. This movie isn't doing well. I don't feel like people really care about Harry Potter unless Harry Potter and the gang is in it. I'm just going to put that out there. I know you got this magical wizarding world. And I think the diehards really like it, but these movies have no draw because nobody really cares about the world as much as they care about something like the Star Wars world, right?
Yeah, but even like with the Star Wars world, there was a continuation of characters, and like the only thing they really have that carries over from that is Dumbledore in this movie. And even then, it's so weak and not prevalent in the movie that no one cares. So that continuing of your care for that characters isn't there. You have these new characters that just aren't interesting enough for you to like grasp onto and latch onto and want to. You're not emotionally invested in them.
That's a good point. I agree with that. I think you saw that with Rogue One, right? They had to put in that Darth Vader scene at the end just so people are like,
and remember Star Wars?
And Tarkin, and they're just like, yeah, remember these characters? They're back.
Exactly.
This this franchise is starting to have super Star Wars prequel vibes to it. And again, we should save that for Thursday, but I'm getting prequel vibes on this one.
Well, I got prequel
a lot of the same beats.
I got prequel vibes starting with Goblet of Fire, but that's a discussion we'll definitely have next week.
What do you mean? Like,
like the quality drop starting with
Goblet of Fire. Yeah, but I mean more of like what J.K. Rowling's doing compared to what George Lucas did with the franchise direction, changing things around, characters.
I think just what I'll say with that, though, is that like with J.K. Rowling, she's essentially retconning so much of it. Like she's just like changing the history of the lore. Like I'm not sure how much of that George Lucas did as much just introduced new things that sucked.
That's
like,
fair.
He didn't change too much of the old history.
Yeah. He just added crap onto it.
Exactly. Yeah.
The Clorians were kind of there, but not really, because it wasn't retconning. It just was saying this exists because
I say so.
Yeah, DNA or whatever. But I agree. I haven't seen it yet. I'm going to see it obviously before we record, but I didn't look forward to the first one. I think I'm looking forward to this one a little more because it does seem a little more entertaining than the first one, but the responses I've seen online and from you guys indicate not really. It just sounds like a fractured mess. And when you have that, it's like you can only go so far in the Harry Potter name before people start finding out it's not that great of a movie. And even if you do like Harry Potter, then you're kind of like, I can wait for the digital download.
That's a great point.
Yeah, I was excited for it too. I liked it more than the first one. But it still has some pretty glaring problems that we'll really dive into.
One more thing. So Venom's slaughtering in China right now. Is this another blow for the Star Is Born fans? Like, are they further just eating shit from their pre-trolling of the Venom crew? Venom gang?
The Star Is Born's box office numbers.
They're definitely off the deep end now, I would say.
Star Is Born box office mojo. It's at 340 million worldwide. Meanwhile, Venom.
It's like triple that.
Venom. Did Venom beat that in the United States alone? No, it didn't. 780 million worldwide. Yeah, it's time to just cut the losses for Star Is Born to admit that they got beat. Plain and simple.
I think there's a conversation over to Oscar nominations now. That's the next phase. Like, well, even though our original intent was that movie was going to beat Venom at the box office, it didn't. But your movie's not going to win or get nominated for a Best Actress award. So take that. take that, Michelle Williams.
We also saw Creed 2. Kenjack and I fucking loved Creed. We both gave it a 91. And I will say the weird thing about Creed is that the negative reviews on Creed are like, oh, it's a lot like the other one. But like, that's the same reason people love The Force Awakens, right?
Yeah.
Like it has a very Force Awakens feel to it. Like there's a lot of the same beats as the one that it's trying to emulate, but it's still fucking fantastic. And I would say it goes even farther than Force Awakens because it just uses those beats to dive deeper into what it's trying to explore and what it's using for its like narrative and for its, you know, the moral of the story. I loved it. We had a good time. So that's one. If you go see a movie on Thanksgiving, Creed is the one to go see. Creed 2, see it immediately. The music is incredible. Shot amazingly. It's an awesome fucking movie.
Deeply emotional, too. It really got to us.
Yeah.
I mean, that's Rocky movies. Like, Rocky movies are all derivative of each other. It's the formula, and the formula works.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's a boxing movie. There's some cliches, but like, I don't know. What do you expect? So Fantastic Beasts again, Fantastic Beasts, The Crimes of Grindelwald. We will be reviewing that with James this week. I don't know when our episode's going to drop yet. We got to talk about timing with Thanksgiving, but we will be reviewing that and ranking the Harry Potter movies. Next up, the Dumbo trailer. This trailer actually dropped while we were recording last week. But the rule is, you got to get the movie or the movie news in before we start recording. Not just going to do it on the fly. Unless, like, the Avengers trailer drops while we're recording. Dumbo, what do we think about the Dumbo trailer? This is like the forgotten live-action movie next year. It's going to get buried by Lion King and Aladdin.
I thought it looked good. We made fun of it because it's very Tim Burton, but it hit the right notes for me. It's whimsical, and that shot of Dumbo wearing the clown makeup. Like, I don't get sad at stuff very often, but that was very specifically designed to make me sad. And a lot of people are sad.
Yeah, I thought it was all right. It's just like a nothing movie to me in that I just never cared about Dumbo the cartoon, and I don't know how making a live action makes it more interesting to me. It's like flying elephant Bambi, I guess. I don't really know. Like, what's too interesting about that for me now that I'm an adult? Not much. Adding Tim Burton to it doesn't really do it. Maybe Colin Farrell? That kind of piques me. I think he has one arm in the movie too, right?
Colin Farrell?
Yeah. I noticed that in the trailer. Huh. Pretty sure. But I don't know. I don't really care too much. And it's like you said, Jeff, like with the other live action movies that are coming out that year, it's not going to get anything. It's not going to get anything.
Where would you rank the three live action movies coming out next year? Aladdin, Lion King, and Dumbo.
Lion King, Aladdin, like, Dumbo.
It's got to be that. I'm shocked they're all coming out in the same year. I'm shocked Aladdin and Lion King are coming out in the same year. It seems like that would phase to two different years because those are two of the biggest Disney animated movies being turned into live action movies.
Yeah, it's a bit of an odd move. It's almost like they didn't know they were planning these. Like it's just very strange timing. But yeah, the Dumbo trailer looked emotional, looked interesting. Tim Burton, you never know what you're going to get out of Tim. Old Tim, first name basis with the trailer.
Timmy B.
With the podcast. Yeah, that's what we call him, Timmy B. Travis Knight, director eyed to direct Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. You may not have heard of him. He has not done many movies. He has directed Kubo and the Two Strings and now the Bumblebee movie. That's a very small rap sheet of things to now get tabbed for Guardians 3.
Yeah, I liked Kubo. I thought that was a good movie. Guardians 3 is way different than that. It's hard to say. It's so tied to Gunn, what he did with the movies, and anything that isn't that is just seems like it doesn't belong.
Well, I think part of the thing I'm thinking about with this is it's like you said, he doesn't have a huge repertoire going into this, but did James Gunn really have something where you'd be like, yes, he'd be perfect for this? Like, say these two movies are already out right now and James Gunn hadn't directed them. If they had hired James Gunn onto this for the third one, would you be like, damn, that's awesome, he's going to fit perfectly? Like, probably not. I don't think I would.
No, I agree.
You don't know.
I agree with you there. I think my point's more like, It's his vibe and his creation. Then you're going to have another director come in and you're going to have to copy his vibe a little bit or else it's just not going to feel the same. So I don't know how that's going to translate necessarily, but he could have done worse, right? I mean, he could have been someone you heard of and didn't like.
Yeah, that's true. It was Kenneth Branagh from old Thor.
Oh, God.
That's a good example right there of a director like Taika Waititi coming in and taking on something that was Kenneth Branagh and I forget who the second Dark World was directed by and just going in an absolutely different direction and still it being much, much better than both of them. And I think that's still possible with this, but the first two were very good, although the second was slightly worse than the first one.
It's just interesting because he's mostly done animated movies. Moon Girl, Coraline, Paranorman, The Box Trolls, Kubo and the Two Strings, The Missing Link is his next movie, and then Bumblebee, one of his only two directorial credits. So, I mean, Bumblebee, now more excited for Bumblebee, you know, to see what he did with that movie. Because if Bumblebee is shot well and looks good and has good direction, then that gets me a little more excited for this appointment to Guardians 3. But I'm a little more excited for Bumblebee to begin with just because they have the old Transformers. Like, they looks like Transformers, which is kind of cool. Credit to them. John Cena. So we'll see on that news. Lastly, before we get into the next ad read or our first ad read, Amazon Prime members. How about this? You should ask, actually, someone ask their Amazon Echo if this is true after I say it. Amazon Prime members can see Aquaman early. Somebody ask.
I don't have an Amazon device in my house.
I have my Google Home, but it's unplugged right now.
I'll ask mine. Alexa, can I see Aquaman for free? It's not the right fucking question. God damn it. Alexa, stop.
Right, no, you may not see Aquaman for free.
Alexa, can I see Aquaman early with Amazon Prime?
I don't know that.
Fucking stupid. So I guess we don't know.
How early? How early are we talking? Are we talking weeks or are we talking 2 hours?
It's like a week.
Hmm. How does that work? Do you just, do they have theaters that are just going to be cordoned off to Amazon Prime members?
I'm all in on there. I think we're both Amazon Prime guys, right?
Yeah. I mean, I guess I'll do it.
Yeah. I mean, you got to do it. Got to take advantage of those rich Prime benefits. But I'm more thinking in terms of the logistics and the working with the theaters to, you know, are they going to have like an Amazon security guard right there to just make sure you're a Prime member? And they're going to sign you up for Prime. If not,
it's just holographic Jeff Bezos.
That Jeff Bezos skit last night was not very good.
No, the whole show is not very good.
But that's outside of the opening.
The opening was pretty fun.
Yes. It's cool when your company is parodied in the opening. That's pretty funny. Yeah, I don't know. I think it's just they're figuring out which theater chains are participating. Like Arclight, AMC, I saw. Regal, I saw. I don't know which other ones. And then you can get in and go see it early. That's kind of cool, though. Like, I like that concept. That'll get people going with movies. Splices it up a little different. I don't know. Not the worst idea I've heard.
Yeah, but, like, what's the... I mean, I guess it gets them going to movies, but is it just the incentive of being able to see something early? The exclusivity is the draw? Is that it? Because it doesn't sound like there's anything special other than the fact that if you have a membership to the web store, you get to see it early.
The interesting thing is that this is DC with another bizarre move, because it's early in the U.S., but it's actually being released a couple days ahead of the U.S. internationally. So with Amazon Prime, you can see it the same time that people overseas can see it before they spoil the movie for everyone over here, which a lot of studios line up their releases so that doesn't happen. Like Avengers moved theirs, so they were able to line it up. I think Thor Ragnarok maybe, but I even think Thor came out a little after. But you would think DC would line it up with Aquaman, a movie that's getting hype for being potentially pretty good. So I found that a bit odd. A little strange in my book.
It's creative, I guess. I don't understand. I don't know how this is supposed to generate extra business for DC, but maybe it's not. Maybe they're taking the pay from Amazon, and Amazon's the one trying to use this as a marketing expense. I don't know. It's confusing. This whole world we live in is just so confusing. Just let me see my damn movie without having my internet account present.
Ken Jack and I are actually seeing a movie over a month before it comes out on Monday. We can't say the name, but that's a crazy move. What a wild decision to let people see a movie that far in advance.
Very long time ahead of time.
Yeah. I mean, it's a Christmas movie coming out and we're seeing it tomorrow. We could ruin it for so many people. If we wanted to risk our jobs, we could ruin it for so many people.
The whole world. Not that there's, I think, anything that's going to be worthwhile spoiling.
You can't even mention that you're seeing the movie. That's how tight this embargo or whatever is.
It may not be, but you're not going to risk it before you go see it, I guess, you know?
Nah. Yeah, that'd be bad.
Yeah. Yeah, I understand that.
We actually saw Creed 2 with Ivan Drago's son, Victor Drago, in the back of a theater. The actor who plays fucking massive human being.
Absolute unit. He took up two seats and he was wearing like a full-ass tracksuit. He was intimidating as shit.
Just posted up.
Also, his name is Florian. I feel like you don't fuck with somebody who's named Florian IRL.
No.
Not at all. That's a very intimidating name. He's a very large human.
Speaking of tracksuits... Stitch Fix, sponsor of this podcast, this episode. Stitch Fix is an online personal styling service that finds and delivers clothes, shoes, and accessories to fit your body, budget, and lifestyle. Go to stitchfix.com/lights and tell them your sizes, what styles you like, and how much you want to spend on each item. You'll be paired with your very own personal stylist who will handpick 5 items to send them right to your door. Then you try them on, pay only for what you love, and return the rest. Shipping and exchanges and returns are always free. Get started now at stitchfix.com/lights and you'll get an extra 25% off when you keep all 5 items in your box at stitchfix.com/lights to get started today. stitchfix.com/lights. All right, moving on. More news. Mark Hamill talked about a story, something he suggested to George Lucas back in the day. I love Mark Hamill. Not sure I like this thought. He suggested that Boba Fett be Luke Skywalker's mom. Even George said big time no to that one. This would have been a fucking awful idea, right?
Is he being serious though? I kind of feel like Mark Hamill's a troll. He loves to push people's buttons. So it feels like one of those moves. But if it's a serious suggestion, that's pretty wild, because that goes back to the whole thing. Is like everyone involved with that? Do they feel like everyone needs to be related to each other? Just this unspoken plot, like creation, where everyone is just fucking has some connection. I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like that's kind of the vibe we got more going forward, more and more. And maybe that's something that Rian Johnson tried to break with saying that Ray wasn't related to anybody and was just a nobody. But maybe that's might have been good. Who knows? I'm not going to be the one to say that Boba Fett shouldn't have been Luke Skywalker's mom. Baba Mario.
Baba Fett.
I was going to say Baba Fett.
No.
I was going to say Baba Mario, but either that works too. but yeah, he's a. I'm not going to be the one to say that wasn't possible. Might have been cool. I kind of prefer him being a shitty clone. Because isn't that kind of weird how, like, Jango, he was a clone of Jango Fett, but somehow not, like, obedient or a good soldier or any of those things. He was just kind of like a shitty kid.
Yeah, he just didn't have, like, the discipline of the other, what's his name, Temuera Morrison?
Yeah, Temuera Morrison, baby.
Yeah.
Go deeper than that. So how would you explain the relationship between Darth Vader and Boba Fett if Boba Fett was Luke Skywalker's mom? Like, was Boba Fett just out, like, at a bar, something, just
fucked Anakin?
Yeah, just like,
well, you would have to have fucked her before the burning, because I'm only assuming his dick and balls got burnt off.
Well, but maybe the burning is not canon. If you go, well, probably
no,
is.
It's definitely canon.
No, but I'm just saying the timeline would have to shift a little bit. The whole prequels would be invalidated by this.
Well, what if he had sex with her while in a relationship with Padme?
Dude, cheating? It didn't even cross my mind.
Wait, actually, I guess the Revenge of the Sith took place when Boba Fett had to be like a teenager at that point. But I guess in this case, that's all retcon, so that wouldn't matter. But at that, still, I think it's possible. You know, Anakin went off for a little strange or something.
You think it's super awkward in Cloud City when Boba Fett kind of shows up? It's like, hey, I got the bounty, and Darth's like, oh, how have you been? You been okay? Still hang out with Jeremy and those guys.
He still checks her Instagram every now and then.
Oh, he got a new boyfriend. I saw that. Is he good? Oh, he's a doctor. Oh, that's cool.
I'm really happy for you.
I'm a Sith Lord. See that?
I rule the universe. It's not a big deal though.
No,
you didn't know that.
I mean, technically, I have a boss, like, but he's not around that much, so I'm like my own boss. No, entrepreneur. Like, Darth Vader is just one of those guys with like a Twitter profile. It's like bourbon enthusiast, entrepreneur, dad, father.
You want to buy these Cutco knives? But fucking Ponzi scheme Darth Vader in his teenage years. That'd be a great bit.
It's just Darth Vader who's obsessed with startup incubators. He's like, well, that's great, but also, like, there's a small company on Tatooine that just entered Series A. They got to go check that out. While I'm there, I might as well see if my son's kicking around. He just gets a space Tesla.
Space Tesla. There actually is a space Tesla. He launched that car into space. Watch your mouth before you shit on Elon.
I like when people criticize Elon Musk is like that being an example of like wastefulness. I'm like, no, he shot a car into space. Like, that's the one thing I can defend of him.
Yeah, that was like, badass.
Maybe like one of the few things I'm like, okay, that's actually pretty cool.
It was a great marketing. Imagine how much money and exposure he probably made off that and how much it cost total. Like, he definitely made a profit, I would say.
Oh, yeah. It was like one of the first gen Tesla Roadsters. I don't even think it was one of the new ones. Just had that car laying around.
We're going to launch this into space. Yeah, it will be very funny. again, he's not German, but.
We don't know how to do his accent.
I can't fathom him. I can't fathom him with his American accent. So I morph him into being German. Yeah, you want to go to discotheque?
I can't remember what he sounds like, and I've watched that Joe Rogan clip no less than a dozen times. Like, I just don't know what he sounds like.
It's like a slightly accented American.
That entire interview, that entire 3-hour interview rules. because it is Joe Rogan peppering him with questions and him giving like two word responses. And Joe Rogan's like, okay, motherfuckers. Ron, do you think in the future, do you think things will be better? Yeah. What do you mean by that? You know, interconnected minds. Anyway, I recommend it though. It's wild.
And he smokes weed. He smokes a weed.
A fat boy.
Yep. With one of the best memes of 2018 for sure out of that.
Oh, maybe of all time. I think all timer, because that's just that intersection of absurdity that's what I miss about the internet, because so much has like happened and stuff doesn't seem absurd anymore. And that actually was like, holy shit, that's absurd. That's wild.
That's very true. It was one of the shocking things. You're like, what the like, nothing that happens in politics or celebrity gossip is really surprising. That was just, what the fuck? That really happened? They just fucking smoked like that? It made him that fucking face?
Him and Harambe and Crying Jordan all in the meme hall of fame for having a lifeline that long for their respective time periods.
Harambe. And I still like, I feel like the Elon Musk meme is still relevant too. Like, I feel like you could use it and I would still probably get a genuine laugh out of it too.
Oh, the best one was when people did the face app thing to make him smile. Like the picture grimacing and has a smile on his face. That was great. That was real good.
That was a good one.
Trailer for a movie franchise that we've talked about a fair amount on here for being how shitty it is. The Leprechaun Returns trailer.
Oh,
this is it's straight to DVD or streaming or however the fuck you watch it. But man, we may have to watch this at some point, like a quick 5-minute review. This looks brutal.
They got on this wave of bringing horror franchises and rebooting them and retooling them or whatever. And they said, what's one that hasn't been done? Like Leprechaun. Literally the worst one. I would have taken Puppet Master over Leprechaun. I would have taken anything over Leprechaun. And you know what they messed up? Like, most of all, they'll say two things about the trailer. I'll get to what they messed up after this. The first thing is they decided the trailer didn't feel very serious. Did it to you guys? It felt like a tongue-in-cheek horror movie. So I'll give them some points there, because how could you go super serious with a leprechaun that murders people? The thing that I think they messed up on is they made the leprechaun too messed up looking. They made him too creepy looking. I think he had to retain some semblance of looking like an actual leprechaun.
It is overly gross.
I think if they would have made like a leprechaun that's just kind of gross rather than a super gross leprechaun, it would have been a creepier leprechaun.
You want him to look like the Lucky Charms thing?
Wouldn't that be creepier though if he just had this baby face and he was a leprechaun and killed people?
Like like the South Park Christmas Critters type effect?
Yeah. I remember that episode. But I hated it. I hated it. I don't like this. This looks bad. I still want to review it because I think it'll be good to just smash this movie. But they're obviously, this is the response they want from people. Let's not get confused. Nobody's making this to say we're making a good movie. They're making this so three dumbasses talk about it on a podcast, end up watching it, and tell their audience to watch it too. And that's what's going to happen, especially if it's straight to DVD. And we're going to watch the shit out of that.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm 100% watching this regardless. And I don't think I've only seen the first Leprechaun. And I know, not a fan of them in general. As you know, the franchise or the genre of horror is just not my thing. This trailer did nothing for me, as you might have guessed. Just not something that ever has caught my interest. Scary leprechauns. I'd rather them reboot Hellraiser, because that was legitimately fucking horrifying. Or they might even be making horror fucking Hellraisers. I would have no idea. You might not have heard of them. When was the last
Hellraiser? They are rebooting it. Yeah, they are rebooting it. It is let's see, Hellraiser franchise. Let's look it up. I do know they're rebooting it though, because I chose not to read one of the stories. Hellraiser franchise.
Planned reboot.
I'm gonna play the Leprechaun trailer real quick.
Yeah, go ahead. Go play it. Go play it.
Hey Google, what's on my calendar today?
Today that's at an 6 ad. PM you have
that one.
Ooh, we need a reservation.
Oh no.
Anything about
either.
Oh,
Okay, this is my favorite part.
I've got a lot of killing to make up for.
Wait, rewind it, rewind it.
Got a lot of killing to make up for. Do I look like a figment of imagination to you?
The music is what makes
it. Mom always said was real.
Her and her friends threw me down the well to rot.
There is a deranged dwarf obsessed with money in the kitchen. It's a leprechaun. He would murder anyone for his gold.
All right, that's enough. But he would murder anyone for his gold. That's my favorite. We got to tell you what this guy's motivation is in the trailer. That's the hook. You're like, oh, this is a leprechaun. He murders people, but it's for his gold. So I guess, like, I kind of get it.
Update, by the way. There was a Hellraiser that came out this year in February. Hellraiser Judgment. And it had a $350,000 budget, so I will not be watching it.
Let's see here. I'm trying to figure out who's playing the...
What, Pinhead?
I don't know. No, the leprechaun. The voice is fucking awful, though. Like, that was a bad hilariously awful. Like, perfect, though. I love it.
Papa to morning to you. Going to murder you now.
A lot of killing to make up for. Which is what I think he says.
That's a great line.
Warwick Davis did the original.
Yeah.
He's a legend, by the way.
Oh, did you guys ever watch Life's Too Short?
No, but you've recommended it. It's on my list right after The Wire.
Thanks for letting me know that I recommended it to you before and you ignored it. Appreciate the support.
I look at Warwick Davis's like filmography. First off, he was in Return of the Ewok, unreleased 1982 mockumentary short. But then he was in that before he was in Return of the Jedi. And then he was in Labyrinth, in Willow, and Leprechaun, and Star Wars Episode One: The Phantom Menace. He was Yoda.
Also in Rogue One. Or no, sorry, Solo, rather.
And Harry Potter.
Yeah, Harry Potter, Professor Fletchwell.
He's in all of them.
I like him.
I'm a fan. Yeah. Warwick Davis, come on the pod.
Yes, that would be a great interview.
He was the voice of Griphook, the
racist goblin.
In Gringotts, he was the voice of him in the first movie, but it was actually played by Vern Troyer, and then he just straight up played him in the last one, or one of the last two parts of Deathly Hallows.
Yeah, the one where he actually travels with them.
Vern Troyer played him?
Yeah, Vern Troyer played Griphook, and then he wasn't actually in the movies again until Deathly Hallows Part 1 and 2.
Huh. Good for Vern.
Yeah.
I didn't know Vern in that. Rest in peace.
Big time rest in peace. Him and Bob Hoskins.
Yeah. Definitely Bob Hoskins a lot.
Can we sell shirts that say rest in peace, Bob Hoskins?
I'm not sure how many we'd sell, but I'd wear one every day.
I would too. It's not funny. I don't know why I'm laughing. It's just like I would 100% wear that.
Can you imagine being called to like the office and it's like, okay, guys, you sold 17 shirts last time. What the fuck are you doing making Bob Hoskins shirt? You need to merch and you got Bob Hoskins on a shirt with rest in peace on it. Nobody can wear this to a darty.
No, the best thing is it would be like the Obama Hope one, except it's just Hoskins.
Go to store.barstoolsports.com for your $55 champion crew neck that says rest in peace, Bob Hoskins.
Or your ugly sweater that just says
rest in peace. They walked around for weeks and Ken Jack and I were just too busy to ever really think up good Christmas sweaters, but we're already getting the jump on next year for the rest in peace, Bob Hoskins, ugly Christmas sweater.
I wonder if we can get that in last second. Just be like, guys, please, we need a rest in peace, Bob Hoskins, Christmas sweater. Begging you here.
We're going to have to let you guys go. We've been CMD'd by the estate of Bob Hoskins.
If we could get a guarantee, let's see, how much are they? I'm going to say 35. If we could get, 100 people or more to guarantee that they would buy a rest in peace Bob Hoskins crew neck, I would put it up for sale on Tuesday. If we could get a guarantee that people would do that.
Let's get a Patreon, get them to commit money.
I don't know what the punishment would be for if we made it and nobody bought it. There isn't much we could do, but.
So that brings up, I think, the thing that my point here is what picture of Bob Hoskins would you use? Would you use Mario? Would you have to Mario? Or would you do Roger Rabbit or Hook as Smee?
I think him as Nikita Khrushchev in Enemy at the Gates. That's a good Bob Hoskins.
Gosh, dude, I didn't realize he just died only 4 years ago.
Yeah.
I thought it was like way before that.
He was in that movie with Jet Li, right? Like the caged something or another. Yeah, it's like Jet Li is a caged fighter.
I kind of think you have to use the Mario picture.
But then I think if this estate, if it exists, would actually get very pissed if we were using Mario as their picture. So I had to stop and make sure I said Mario. What do you call it? But I think we should use one where it's just him. I do like that picture, but.
All right. Well, regardless, if we can get a firm committal that we will see 100 people buying it, I will make sure a rest in peace Bob Hoskins crew neck gets up on the site on Tuesday.
Oh, man.
Prove your worth.
It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. Because on one hand, like, I am sad that Bob Hoskins passed, but on the other hand, like, I kind of want this shirt.
Yeah. We need to talk to PFT. If PFT can help us get behind this, this might work. All right. Keep it in mind. All right. Let's see. What else? Ghostbusters 3, according to Dan Aykroyd, apparently is being written. I don't know how to feel about this one. I don't know if this is them confirming that the last one was awful or they don't want to continue it, but apparently they want to get going on Ghostbusters 3, which just seems like you can't do this. I just don't think you can do this anymore, right? Like the time has passed. Harold Ramis died. Like, there's just nothing you can do, right?
Yeah. And you know what? Like, you got to get Rick Moranis on board too, right?
Oh, yeah.
I think he's kind of dipping his toe in the water with coming out of retirement a little bit, but I don't know. The whole Ghostbusters thing, it's tough to wade in the conversation of Ghostbusters because you have to separate like the quote unquote controversy from like this project and like just put that to the side. And do you really want a non, like Jeff was saying, a non Harold Ramis directed Ghostbusters with these actors who are like past their primes, but look, I mean, it kind of feels like Wild Hogs.
Oh, man, that's a good comparison. Yeah, I just don't – it's not necessary in any way, shape, or form. And without the full cast, it's especially not necessary. It was just kind of odd. And I get they're trying to get rid of that stain of the last one. But still, just – I don't – no, thank you. Hard pass.
I just don't know how you can do a reboot like this with the original cast and not have the entire movie just be overly fan service-y references to the whole history of the series.
They – Dan Aykroyd actually blamed Paul Feig for why the first movie didn't work and why there's not going to be a sequel. He said, I was mad at him because he cost too much. He said that.
Paul Feig cost too much.
Yeah, he said Feig did not listen to budget suggestions, which was ultimately the movie's undoing. I mean, I don't know if that was the undoing. I think what Paul Feig put on the table, and Paul Feig's a very funny guy, he put. It was not a good product. It was not a product up to the standards of the good stuff Paul Feig has created. It just wasn't. There's really no, I don't know. Maybe some people liked it. I thought it was a bad movie. I mean, plain and simple. It wasn't funny.
Just is. We have to shout out Donnie Wonton Don, who was in that movie and was awesome.
True. Donnie Does was in the movie.
He was awesome in his
part.
Which I don't
His remember. Part was great. Yeah,
they,
great
actually, they actually released a song from the soundtrack.
Ray Parker Jr. Here we go with Ghostbusters.
Have you heard this one yet?
No, let it play.
Can you imagine if this just opened up the movie? And they're just like, they're cruising down the street in their hearse Ecto-mobile, and this is playing. Something strange sleeping
in your bed.
Anyway,
why did you start before the busting part?
How did if you're gonna do this, you gotta get to the good part.
Just go to busting.
You
We'll go to like the drop. Like where. Bustin' makes me feel good. Makes me feel good. Makes me feel good. All right. Good stuff.
Sorry, I had to get that out.
Excuse me. When you talk about Bustin, please refer to it as Hall of Fame induct or Hall of Famer Bustin. Is that how you say it?
Had they been inducted into the Hall of Fame yet, or had they just been like pre-inducted? You know, like when they nominate and they pre-induct football Hall of Fames before they enshrine them,
like pre-cum.
Yeah, exactly. The same thing.
Yeah, I think they're inducted. So I think it is just a Hall of Famer. Comma Bustin.
So yeah. He busted some dribbly pre-jizz.
I don't know. I don't want this Ghostbuster. Like part of me wants it to happen, but the other part of me in my heart knows it will not be good. And it's just that drive to get the gang back together from the movie you loved as a kid. And the product is just not great. And Ramis was a big part of that. People don't realize that. Like how like these 80s directors, like both him and who is the other one? John Ray Hughes
Jr.
Well, like John Hughes, like they just like they these movies were theirs and the actors were good in it, but like they're their movies.
This is what I'll say too. For me anyway, like I don't have that childhood connection to it. Like it wasn't a movie that made my childhood, and I don't look back fondly on it like, damn, Ghostbusters was so good. Like I always just kind of thought it was an okay movie that my dad loved, my mom thought was good, and I just never really connected with it. So maybe for like you and Jeff, it might be totally different. So I think that experience probably varies across people, although it is critically acclaimed as a good movie.
Yeah, I wasn't a big Ghostbusters guy. I saw it as a kid. I just don't have any special connections to movies. I don't know. Maybe it's a deficiency for me. Well, I probably have a few if I really think about it, but it's never. Yeah, I mean, Star Wars is one. Star Wars is definitely one. So I take that back, but it's not like everything I saw as a kid. Like, I feel like there's some people that like, if it existed when it was a kid, you have to say like, oh, I have a special connection to this, just so you have social capital to bitch about how the remake is being handled or like what they've done to the franchise.
Well, I think the perfect example of this is actually Jeff, because you've explained to us before, like your connection with Star Wars. And I think that that's totally a tangible thing.
Yeah. I mean, I think it definitely exists. I just think that there's like something like Star Wars, you can't compare to Ghostbusters in my mind. They're not on the same plane. And so like there's just a small group of people that probably were as big into, I mean, Jeff's in a room full of Star Wars stuff. Like I'm sure there are some people that exist. They have a room full of Ghostbusters stuff, but it's not as much, not even close to the amount of people. Like Star Wars is huge. And even then, like, I think like the way Jeff talks about it is like, you know, even though the prequel sucked and Solo wasn't great, it's not like Jeff's going to get on a message board and be like, they've ruined my childhood. Which, they, you know, people say that, like, and I don't know if it's ironic anymore, but that was the big thing about the 2016 Ghostbusters is like, oh, you know, like, here's what you're doing to the franchise. And it's like, relax, dude. Like, you don't care about Ghostbusters that much. It's a bad movie. Don't get me wrong, but it's a bad movie for different reasons for what people were mad about.
For sure. Yeah, for sure. I mean, maybe there is somebody who liked Ghostbusters that much. I don't know. Maybe there's somebody who's in comedy movies where that like that inspired them. But I get your point there. I mean, Star Wars, again, is a tough compare. It transcends a lot because it goes far beyond just the movies. And I know there's Ghostbusters toys and games, but Star Wars is, it's just in its own league. There's just not much that you can really compare to it. Two more pieces of news. This is a piece of news that sounds like we made it up. Supergirl cast John Cryer as Lex Luthor. Like, that just sounds like a Troll Ballins joke from the podcast. Like, we're just going through a thing. Like, who should play Lex Luthor? And you're like, John Cryer.
I gotta say,
half man.
This is one of those things where it's such a weird casting choice that now I'm interested. Like, if they would have just casted Corey Stoll, we would have been like, okay, that makes sense. He's the perfect Lex Luthor. But John Cryer as Lex Luthor gets people talking.
I think it's a good casting. I think exactly. He looks like Lex Luthor now. Do you remember we were discussing in the office, and like at first glance, when you think about John Cryer, you think about him on Two and a Half Men, and you're like, that's the most harmless looking fucking dad of all time that definitely only does missionary, doesn't use music, and has the lights off, and you just this very unintimidating human being. But John Cryer now, bald, is a scary dude. He's not someone you want to fuck with.
The Bezos effect.
Exactly. Bezos, look at, he's a fucking unit now. I mean, he's not very intimidating in the same way as Cryer, but it's still.
Jeff Bezos versus John Cryer. Who do you got?
Just make it like a bald person death match. Celebrity death match. Whatever happened to that?
I think it's also one of those things where Jesse Eisenberg was so poorly casted as Lex Luthor, and I hate what they did with it, that anything sounds better. And so I'm on board with this Cryer thing. It's just ridiculous based off of like the joke around John Cryer and his association with his character on Two and a Half Men. And then him being cast as Lex Luthor, but he, you know, he deserves it. He deserves to get work. I don't have anything against John Cryer. I don't know much about the guy, but Lex Luthor.
The hypothetical of John Cryer and Jeff Bezos in a fight, I love. I don't know who I'd favor, really.
What's the tale of the tape? Let me look up John Cryer height.
I feel like there's a lot of videos of Jeff Bezos like doing like MMA training videos that he put of himself on Instagram with like a trainer.
Are you? You give me the John Cryer height and weight. I'll look up Jeffy B.
Make the fight card. That'd be a really funny graphic.
So John Cryer's 5'9". I don't know what his weight is, but I can't imagine it being deviating too much from 160. I feel like a 5'9", 160 is a pretty standard weight for somebody his age.
It says 154 for John Cryer. Bezos, 165 pounds, 5'8".
Ooh, this is a battle. This is a fucking battle.
I got Bezos though, because he's got to be more yoked than Cryer. Like he went into hard on that workout plan. What's that picture of him wearing that vest where he looks like he just got off of like some sort of like UFC training event with Rogan?
Yeah.
Ooh, put him in that fight too. Make it like Dana White, Joe Rogan, John Cryer, and Bezos. Put him in like a 4-person death match.
He went to Princeton, from Albuquerque, New Mexico. Philanthropist, investor, technology entrepreneur. Then let's do a little more tell the tape for John Cryer here. John Cryer, he went to, I don't see the school. He's from New York. Ooh, he's got a little Manhattan street tough in him.
Yeah, Upper East Side street smarts.
Yeah, exactly. He's an Upper East Side baby.
I don't see where he went to school. He did act with Charlie Sheen for many years, though.
He just beats the shit out of Charlie Sheen every day.
That has to play into it a little bit. Yeah, my money's going to be on Jeff Bezos here. But, Ken Jack, I do think that you may be on to something. Maybe I could see John Harper. Oh, his name was Alan Harper in Two and a Half Men. Uh-huh. I could see John Cryer going toe-to-toe a little bit with Bezos. Like I can, he's got that unassuming intimidation factor. Because
what
he
are their
John
ages?
Oh, that's a good one, too. Age is definitely going to matter here.
I think Bezos is a little bit older than him.
Cryer's 53.
Bezos 54. This is a very even
this
matchup.
Is such a, this yeah. is a great card. This is a great fucking card. Oh, man, I really want to see this fight now.
What would the undercard be? You'd have to take like a lesser like business magnate or whatever.
Okay, so how about Richard Branson versus Ric Flair?
What about Jeff Daniels?
So Richard Branson versus Jeff Daniels?
So Richard Branson is 68 years old. Richard Branson height is 5'11". All right, so Jeff Daniels. Jeff Daniels, 63. Jeff Daniels has got to be like 6 foot something. Yeah, Jeff Daniels is a big guy. He's 6'3".
He would beat the living shit out of Richard Branson.
He's also much younger.
Yeah. Jeff Daniels would clean his fucking clock.
Trying to think an actor to put up against Richard Branson.
Jeremy Irons?
Jeremy Irons is in his late 70s. Has to be, right?
How old is Richard Branson?
64, right? You said?
No. It's like, he's like Richard Branson, like 68. Jeremy Irons is 70. So that might work. But Jeremy Irons is also 6'2". He's a small looking 6'2".
Mark Zuckerberg versus Jesse Eisenberg.
I think I might get one here. Oh, you know what? Richard Gere. Richard Gere versus Richard Branson.
I like that.
He's 5'11". He's 69 years old. I like that's a good undercard.
I do like that pick a lot.
Branson versus Gear, similar hairstyles.
How about Gates?
Yeah, but if you got Gear in it, it's not the undercard anymore, right? Like, is Bezos that big of a draw? Is that it?
Yeah.
Cryer,
he's the richest man in the world, right?
I know. Ooh. I know. I feel bad about putting Gear on the undercard and having John Cryer on the main event.
Speaking of fighting, last bit of news here before we get into some audience questions. Fighting with Family trailer, The Rock. Oh, we just lost Trill.
He's out. He just heard The Rock's name and he had to
quit.
Leave.
He just quit. Trailer with The Rock. I don't really totally understand this movie. Did you watch this trailer, Ken Jack?
Yeah, it's a real story. I actually talked to Robbie about this a little bit because I didn't want to talk about it in the trailer roundup. And I was like, hopefully I can just hyperlink Bob's blog about it and then not have to say anything. And he's like, no, I didn't talk about it. I don't care about it at all. And I was like,
well, this is a synopsis here. I'll give a quick read. Ricky, his wife, Julia, daughter, Rhea, and son, Zach, scrape a living together wrestling in tiny venues. When Rhea and Zach get the chance to audition for the WWE, they learn that becoming superstars demands more than they ever dreamed possible. Mm-hmm. Fighting with my family. I will read a quick comment on the movie and keep the person's name anonymous as to not put any damage on their career. I said, what's the deal with that Dwayne Johnson movie trailer that came out? And the person said he made a movie about a WWE superstar, Paige, and drastically embellished her life story to involve him so the movie could have a big star in it. That seems kind of gross. That just seems like,
yeah, yuck.
It seems that unnecessary.
That.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not.
I like wrestling movies, though. All like three of them that came out ready to rock. The Boy, Marquette, The Wrestler. With David Arquette and
our boy Nacho David Arquette got the shit beat out of him in an amateur wrestling fight this last weekend.
Yeah, but it looked awesome.
It did look so cool. Like, I did not think he was capable of moving the way he did. And he did. He did the damn thing.
Did it, man.
The Rock wasn't really in the trailer. He was there for like 20 seconds, just as like kind of a cameo almost. And I'm hoping that if you're pumping this movie out, like, yeah, starring The Rock, that isn't the only scene you get. But I don't know.
I thought he was a cameo more than I thought he'd be.
It was like two lines.
I did the whole...
doesn't matter what year, blah, blah, blah.
Whatever. Yeah, that whole phone call. I don't know. I'm intrigued by this just because it's a gigantic WWE Studios puff piece on WWE, just a big advertisement, which is I think is cool, like personally. And it's got Vince Vaughn in it for some reason, so that's cool too.
It's a you're telling me a propaganda piece and stars Vince Vaughn?
How are you making this movie and you don't have anyone listed in the cast is playing Vince McMahon is what I don't get.
Who would you want to play Vince McMahon?
Vince Vaughn, I think, could do a good Vince McMahon.
I think J.K. Simmons would make a great Vince McMahon.
Oh, but he'd have to get jacked. Like, Vince McMahon.
Did you not see him when he was in that last role he had? Dude, J.K. Simmons was yoked. Don't you remember that picture?
Green Room?
Maybe?
No, that was, I'm sorry, that was Patrick Stewart.
I was like, what the fuck? I don't remember that at all.
No, Patrick Stewart was yoked in that movie. Maybe. I don't see it. I associate J.K. Simmons with being more wiry. Vince McMahon's got those big, beefy, buff WWE Performance Center muscles.
Look what I just sent you. Look at the picture I just sent you of Simmons.
He's yoked.
Yeah. No, that's fair. That's fair.
He's jacked up. And I think like you give him his J. Jonah Jameson haircut, like that wig, and he looks a lot like Vince McMahon all of a sudden.
Steven Merchant's in this movie, too.
I love Steven Merchant.
Yeah.
My tall king.
We got to get into some audience questions, but first up, this episode is brought to you in part by Robin Hood. No, not the movie with Jamie Foxx and Taron Egerton and Ben Mendelsohn. Okay. Robin Hood is an investing app that lets you buy and sell stocks, options, and cryptos, all commission-free. They strive to make financial services work for everyone, not just the wealthy. Non-intimidating way for stock market newcomers to invest the first time with true confidence. Easy to use app, very, very well designed, excuse me. You learn by doing. You learn how to invest as you build your portfolio, discover new stocks, and track favorite companies with personalized news feeds, custom notifications. It's great. Very easy to use if you're trying to trade, do stuff like that, make some old monies. Robinhood is going to give listeners a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help build their portfolio. Sign up at lightscamera.robinhood.com. That's lightscamera.robinhood.com. All right. Audience question time. What are the top three movies, or just name one or two, that you have an irrational hate towards? It's like a movie that you don't just dislike, a movie that you just irrationally hate. I think Avatar is definitely up there for all of us. I think we all, at least I irrationally hate Avatar. But what's one of them that you have an irrational hatred towards?
Donnie Darko.
Really?
Yeah, so my three are Donnie Darko, Nightmare Before Christmas, and this might be the most surprising one, The Goonies.
Oh!
I don't like The Goonies that much. Everyone loves The Goonies.
Well, you don't like it or you hate it?
I hate it because people like it so much. The movie itself is fine, but the way people talk about the movie, that's what makes me hate the movie. Kind of the same thing as Nightmare Before Christmas. That's how I took that question. Is it's like, a part of it is built in, it's like, these movies that you irrationally hate them because you don't really see why other people love them that much, and it makes you kind of hate them more.
Number one, John Carter, for obvious reasons. Fuck that movie. Fuck that movie for making me lose a point in Big If True, airing 11 to 12.
Hold on.
Everyone hates
it. Would you have known this? The question was, I mean, now you know, but would you have known the question was, name the movie, it's the Disney category, starring Taylor Kitsch that was a major box office flop in 2012?
I probably would have said Lone Ranger at first.
That's Armie Hammer.
I know, but that's what I'm saying, is I would have fucked up and said
I don't like associate John Carter with Disney. I think that's the problem.
Oh, I do. Because I remember that being the news was that was such a gigantic flop that it negatively impacted their balance sheet and an earnings release, or it negatively impacted their income statement.
Yeah, it fucked me. I mean, it was my fault 100%, but still, I hate it now because of that and other reasons of just being a bad movie. Apparently, never saw it.
It is a big pile of shit.
Number two, Sully, again for obvious reasons, just a rational hatred for this guy who just he fucked up at his job and then corrected it. And somehow got a movie out of it. It's just dumb.
That's a legitimate one right there.
You shouldn't have hit the birds. I mean, you don't hit the birds, no movie. And pilots do that every single day. None of them have a single movie. So just saying. Number three, The Greatest Showman. All three of these are part of LCB lore. All these ones I have a rational hatred for. But even then, I don't think it's an irrational hatred. I think it's a rational hatred that other people find irrational for some reason.
Yeah, irrational hatred is tough. I have an irrational hatred toward the Mighty Ducks.
You hate the Mighty Ducks?
No, but I have the same reason as Trill does. Like, I don't hate the movie. I just have an irrational hate towards, like, it's the same thing Trill said with, like, why people fucking love that movie so much, and I just can't see eye to eye of why it's that amazing. Like, I actually get Space Jam. I don't get Mighty Ducks.
I agree
Yeah, I just don't get the obsession with that franchise. It's a fun franchise when you were a kid, but I don't quite understand, like, I don't know, like the constant references. It just doesn't do it for me.
I agree with you completely. The Mighty Ducks is not a good movie. Let's just get that out on the table. So if you like the Mighty Ducks, it's because you saw it when your dumbass was 5 years old, and you think the Flying V is a permissible hockey formation.
Spider-Man 2 is another one. I don't like Spider-Man 2, and I have an irrational hate towards it because I think Spider-Man. It's hyped up. Yeah, I'm in the minority, but yeah. I think it gets a lot of hype and praise for not aging well. I don't think it's that good. I really don't. I think there's dumb fucking plot lines in there that I mean, again, it's good. I'm sure it's up there. It's better than the bad MCU movies that have come out, but I just don't think it's as amazing as people want it to. Wanted to, you know, be. I think the original Spider-Man's better. That's just me. Just my two cents. All right, next up. What's the best sporting event that hasn't been made into a movie yet? Best sporting event that has not been made into a movie yet. So I don't know if it's much which one do you want to get made? But what's a sporting event, I guess, more that you're surprised hasn't been made into a movie yet? I'm surprised there's no like Michael Phelps movie yet. That kind of surprised.
Iconic
figure.
I know. I agree. I think Michael Phelps and the Beijing Olympics and what he went through and all that stuff would be on the table. My answer is a little bit different. This is something I've always wanted to see, because if you go to the Wikipedia for the world record for fastest mile ever ran and the time for it, like, people are going back and forth on this list. And you know, these people are just trying to beat each other and are obsessed with each other. Like, Arne Andersen of Sweden set the time in July 1942. Then Gunder Hag of Sweden set the time like a couple months later. And then Arne Andersen did it twice, and then Gunder Hag did it again. And the same names appear on this list. So I always thought that'd be a fascinating, like, kind of a comedy movie where you just portray these guys who are obsessed with something like a mile, like 1 mile time, like doing everything they can in 1940s to beat it.
It is a pretty
good one, actually.
It's an insane stat. And running, to me, is one of those things that, like, I can't get doing, but I do love watching other people do it in, like, Olympics and shit like that. Like, that's pretty cool. If I had to pick a sporting event that I wish would be made into a movie, it would be one that would never be made into a movie. And it would be the Chargers beating the Broncos in Denver in 2013. When they had 4 all pros and Peyton won MVP. Because that, I was set up in late in a hotel. And it was some of the most thrilling football I ever watched in my entire life. And I don't think I've ever been happier than that day. It would never be made into a movie in a million years for a billion different reasons, but I want it to be. Love to watch it.
Yo, that brings up, like, that reminds me of my favorite genre of tweet is whenever somebody asks, like, what 30 for 30, like, would you like to see the most? And it's always somebody with, like, an Auburn avatar saying, like, the 2013 Iron Bowl.
Yep.
Like, yeah. It's very specific to their fan base, something that wouldn't carry a 1-hour documentary, or, like, somebody with, like, a University of Texas, El Paso, like, the 1999 women's basketball team went like 14-32, but, like, it's just a real interesting story, very specific to you.
Yeah, that's tough. I don't know, sports movies can be so bad sometimes, and that's the thing. It's about finding the right balance of, like, what works. Like, Miracle worked, Friday Night Lights worked, but so many don't. And you pull on the corny effect. Like, Moneyball worked because it was a different angle. You know, like, it was a different angle taken. There's a different style done for the movie. You know, it can't be something that obvious. You know, maybe, like, the Michael Phelps thing wouldn't work. You know, I could be dead wrong on that. True, I think your example is probably the best one. It's something different, something that could be interesting because, well, you don't know the story as much.
Yeah, I mean, it's stuff like there's stuff I'm thinking of. I'm trying to think, like, major sporting events, like the Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa home run chase. Like, that was a huge sporting event that happened in the entire summer, but that would not make a good movie just because I don't think that was, like, all that interesting to make a movie out of. Here's another question. Like, what current sports happenings, like, involving a player that's currently playing, can you ever see being made a movie? Because I can see, like, a Peyton Manning, Tom Brady movie being made in, like, 2048.
Yeah, the McGwire-Sosa thing actually is pretty good, because that was something that I feel like isn't as appreciated now because of steroids. I would love to see that.
Yeah.
That up there.
I think, personally, just so I'm on the record, I think steroids should be allowed in baseball.
Correct.
Metal bats as well. Just get it all out.
It would be so much more fun. Isn't that the point of sports, to have fun?
Be fun to watch.
They should be hitting with metal bats in the home run derby. I don't know why there aren't targets in the outfield. I don't know why there's not different shit in the home run derby. They should be hitting things in the stands, and they should have metal bats. I don't understand what – well, I do know why. MLB is archaic, but they should be doing that.
The baseball players are so superstitious, though, they probably wouldn't even want to handle, like, even touch a metal bat for
fear. Oh, my God.
It'd mess up their swing. But also, could you imagine just, like, you have some 7-year-old, like, Pawtucket little leaguer out there, center field, and Giancarlo Stanton's coming up in the home run derby with a fucking DeMarini metal bat. Just, like, terrifying.
All right, what else we got here? Would you rather be forced to heckle a comedian in a bar of drunk fans or be forced to heckle a preacher during Sunday church service? Tough, because the comedian can destroy you. It'll probably be on YouTube, and the drunk people could hurt you, where I feel like the church What's the worst that's going to happen at church?
Well, they got to forgive me, right?
Yeah.
I don't. The comedian doesn't have to forgive me, but I think the church has to forgive me. So I take the church.
Hmm.
Yeah. I wouldn't do the comedian one. I'd have to pick the preacher.
Yeah, 100% picking the preacher. I would do that right now for free. I don't need to have any incentive at all. Especially a street preacher. Let's be clear on that. If it's like sitting in New York City just screaming on a megaphone, I'll heckle the fuck out of that guy.
Oh yeah, that's a different story. I mean, that's a whole different ball of wax. I like this other question. If you could drink with three characters from the same actor, who would it be? But I'm going to save that one. That's for a more interesting discussion down the road. Would you rather have Detective Pikachu or Shaggy and Scooby-Doo in charge of solving your case? Pikachu, hands down.
Oh, yeah.
Shaggy. Scooby-Doo sucks. They do. Shaggy and Scooby stink.
Why are they still part of that detective agency? What do they bring to the table other than a talking dog?
Yeah, I'd take Pikachu because I think Pikachu's competent, whereas Shaggy and Scooby-Doo, that entire group was incompetent. But out of that entire group of absolute dumbasses, they were by far the worst. They did not carry their own weight.
It really should have just been like Velma's corporation, and that's it. None of them else deserved to be there. They all sucked, especially Scrappy-Doo. Fuck you, Scrappy-Doo.
Scrappy does suck. I also think that like they're needy too. You got to give them Scooby snacks. I mean, Detective Pikachu, you got to feed Pikachu, but I think Detective Pikachu is smart, can think for himself. Yeah. Shaggy and Scooby stink. This question is fucking weird, but I want to answer it anyway. Scariest movie to watch while eating your rotisserie chicken. I don't know what the connotation in like the rider is of the rotisserie chicken part, but what adds to it to make it scary? I'm trying to get in the brain of the person who asked this question.
There is my answer is Alive. It was a movie in the early 90s about the I think there was like a Uruguayan football team or soccer team, sorry, that crashed on the mountains, and they had to like eat some of them in order to stay alive. So watching that while eating rotisserie chicken would not be fun for me.
That's a good point. Maybe like a zombie movie then. I'll go for my pick. Let's say Day of the Dead, the first one.
It's pretty good. That's a fucked up question, but I like it. It's different. Different twist to it. Two more. What's a series or maybe an individual movie that could use a Thor Ragnarok style reboot to put some energy into it? So I mean, it's got to be like wacky and different Fantastic Beasts.
Fantastic Four. Now you say Fantastic.
Yeah.
I do like that.
That's tough, though. It's not in space as much. Like, Lost in Space? That might be fun.
They'd had a reboot. The Netflix series was pretty good.
Yeah, but, like, I'm thinking, like, a more fun, upbeat, like, Ragnarok style. I think, like, Star Trek kind of already got that, right? Yeah. Like, playing Beastie Boys and shit. Like, it's... I feel like Into Dark, or whatever the last one was, which I really enjoyed. I feel like that already got it. All right, one more, then we have the Hot Corner. You guys ready with your hot corner takes of the day?
Let's do it.
You got them. Here's the last question. This is the complaint. Do you guys feel hypocritical at all for getting mad about your listeners getting off topic when you guys just talk about random vile shit for 3 hours a week?
Random vile shit. Woof.
Whoa. I mean, look. Do we go off topic? Of course we do. Do we talk about vile? I don't know if vile things is the right word. Do we talk about inappropriate things and like toilet humor? Yes, of course we do. I don't think we've talked about poop yet this episode. We don't talk a full 3 hours a week about random vile shit. We talk a lot. We talked a lot of movies today. Now that one was, I didn't like that comment. I wasn't a fan of that one. And I will say this. Yes, I am probably the one that is most directed at because I put the hammer and the fist down on the Reddit because they were getting more off topic than they needed to be. They were making the Reddit just not our Reddit. It was just becoming a shitpost Reddit, which I do get that there are things that are going to go off the beaten trail or path now and then. That's just how it works. I was more so keeping the hammer down because it was getting ridiculous the amount of insane cartoon X-rated pornography there was, and it was more we just wanted to keep in line because we don't want a big time movie boy or girl using our Reddit at work or in public and they pull it up on their phone, and their boss walks by or their parents are around, and you just see a picture of Garfield sucking down his own hog. You know, you just don't need that. And that was happening way too often. So sure, you can call it hypocritical, that's fine. But it's keeping not really Reddit in line.
It's not really hypocritical, because that analogy, like you just explained, doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I just, again, it was more to make sure that people weren't getting, I just, it was to a point where it's like, all right, we're not a fucking pornography Reddit. Like, you can get off topic, you can be, I think beating the same jokes in the ground just aren't funny. But if that's what people want to do, they can do that. But the porn was the big reason why, so I had to come down on everything. It's like, all right, stop. But the cartoon pornography was, it was getting ugly.
Do you know how I feel about beating the same jokes into the ground?
Yoda.
Also, let me say this. I'm a hypocrite. All humans are hypocrites. Nothing wrong with being a hypocrite as long as you recognize it.
Yeah, we do that all the time.
Yeah, I'll call myself a hypocrite. I was just more offended that somebody said we only talk about vile, random shit for 3 hours a week.
Sometimes we do. I just think the thing is like this.
Not the full 3 hours. No, we always put in at least some to maximum effort talking movies, especially on our Thursday episodes.
I'm just like, you can't make everybody happy, right? Like,
very true.
I mean, it's like,
I told you I was going to get mad online about this one.
I know. Well, it's just like, just if you feel a certain way, it doesn't mean you're invalidated. But also like, I don't like, you know, whatever. Like, just life's too short.
But get ready for some back-breaking Harry Potter analysis this week. It's going to be a fun episode. I'm very much looking forward to the Fantastic Beasts 2 episode and our Harry Potter rankings. I have a firm belief that Harry Potter fans or fans of Harry Potter get more offended by the way you critique those movies than anything else. I really think we're going to make some people mad.
Yeah, because you can always fall back on the, well, they're just kids' movies defense. And to be a hypocrite, that's exactly what I said about Star Wars. So I do I do it too. It's a good defense. It's a great defense because it implies that the other person gives a shit about a kid's movie.
And the funny thing about Fantastic Beasts is I did see some people defending it who are big fans. I think for how good the Harry Potter franchise is, especially pound for pound, Lord of the Rings is the best out of these big tentpole franchises. I mean, just three dynamite movies. Pound for pound, Harry Potter probably better than Star Wars. I think the best Star Wars movies are better than the best Harry Potter movies. But I think pound for pound, Harry Potter's better. And that's why I also don't understand any defense of the Fantastic Beasts movies. Because they're so egregiously terrible and not fun compared to the good stuff in Harry Potter. Even the first two, which are easily the most kid movies of them all.
I love those two. Those are we'll get into that later. But
first
two Harry Potter.
Yeah, those are great. That sense of wonderment. I still remember that. Even though I can't differentiate the first two, I still have an idea of what it's like.
Ken Jack actually just sent his shirt design. So we have rest in peace, Bob Hoskins. And then he has a I Heart Newt Scamander shirt.
That and RIP Richard Harris.
Fucking Newt Scamander. All right, hot corner. Then let's wrap it up. I'll start off with my hot corner, let you guys end it. I this is like one of the more underappreciated things. It's like a mainstay in your life that stays the same and you get used to getting changed around, and not just like an iPhone operating system where you're like, oh, I didn't know they changed the app's color or the Twitter app looks weird. But my local grocery store is renovating everything top to bottom, but they're staying open, and they rearranged overnight everything in the store. Everything in the store is in a different spot. And that's a luxury, just like having something that will always be the same. To have that changed around, you don't realize how much that fucks with you until it happens. And you're just, I mean, I spent time in the store. I'm like, where the fuck is everything? Crazy.
You know, I've always said this, and by always said this, I mean, this is the first time I'm saying it. Grocery stores should have to adopt a universal standard like USB.
That's a great idea.
To some extent they have, because you know, you have the produce and the deli and the bread usually on one side, but I'm talking like it's law that it must be on the left side of the store, and that the eggs must be on the back wall, and then that the the cheeses and whatever else is on the right wall. Sometimes they flip them. Sometimes they're in the middle. Sometimes the meat's in the middle. And then I also would like to know where I can get certain things by proximity to the produce. And maybe some do that to some extent, but I'm talking across, standardize it across all grocery stores. I'm on board with you. We're also shop with Amazon. That's my threat to retail. If you don't do it my way, I'm going to Amazon.
Amazon Fresh Direct.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, they changed everything. Produce and fruit, different side of the store. I mean, that's the wildest move of them all. I mean, that's, you never move the produce and fruit, even when you redo a store. Always stays the same. So that was different. My local Whole Foods, too, just redid the inside of the store. Different painting, different lighting. I mean, that's not nearly as bad, but just it's those normal everyday things that when they change, it just throws you for a loop.
It dovetails into my hot take, hot corner of the week, Jeff.
All right, go with yours next then.
It is. I have never experienced anything in a retail experience that is as hit or miss as the Whole Foods hot bar. From store to store, from day to day, some days it's great at some stores. Some stores it's great all the time. Like you guys were saying, the store by you is great. But if you don't go to the same Whole Foods and you walk into one, they could have great stuff out, or they could just have like one thing of rice with the salad bar. It's infuriating. I want some staples Whole Foods. Like put some chicken breasts out all the time.
The tough thing about Whole Foods too is that a lot of them are different depending on like location. For example, the California ones. California ones? Did I make that up? Okay. The California ones, they have like acai bars. They have like really nice juice bars. Where New York, we have like our pizza bar, which I think a lot of them have, but there are some that like really have their own specific thing. Like ours here in New York, it does have like a beef jerky thing, but one of the ones in Austin, like the flagship store, they have legitimate freshly made beef jerky right there. And like there's cool things that some have and some don't. So I hear you on that one, Trill.
Yeah, I've been to ones that have like a restaurant in them or a bar in them. And then I've been to
a brewery
the size of a Trader Joe's. And that's fine. I get that you can't have a brewery in the small ones, but you could at least standardize the hot bar to some extent to ensure that after I crush my workout, I'm getting a decent meal and like I'm not forced to just eat eggs.
I didn't have a hot corner. Nothing pissed me off this week. So I'm deferring my hot corner back to you guys if you guys have anything on your mind.
Red Dead Redemption 2 picked up for me. I love it. I've been playing it when I can. Great game.
Is that a hot corner complaint, though, or observation?
A hot corner doesn't always have to be a complaint.
I thought it'd be like an empirical observation or something like that, or like something that annoys you.
Hey, you could be right. I may be crazy. And don't have a heart attack. Yuck.
Just waiting for the next lyric.
Anything else? That's a no.
I got nothing.
Go see Fantastic Beasts 2. Also,
I think we're doing this new thing where we dead air Jeff just to make him feel bad.
No, like it makes it. It's not that. I was more so just waiting for you to do a soundboard.
I'm not going to run it into the ground. What I'm going to do is before I bring that concept back, I'm going to create a custom tailored soundboard of very specific to the podcast things to drop.
Cool with that. We may have to switch to Skype if you do that, though. Google Hangouts, whenever you put audio over audio, it sounds really bad. So we might have to move the podcast to Skype if we want to do that.
Probably not worth doing that because my voice sounds way better on Google Hangouts than does Skype for whatever reason. I don't get that. I
think Skype, it is strange.
Go-to recording thing.
It's weird, though, because when I edit this, I'll have to fix a lot of stuff because when you do audio over audio, it sucks. That's why we like recording, or Ken, Jack, and I, at least, we like recording from the office because we don't have to really worry about that. But Trill does sound worse on Skype, which just doesn't make any sense. Makes no sense.
Not at all, sir. Hey, another great episode in the books. I feel like we learned a lot. I feel like we grew together. Ken, Jack's just like, get me off this podcast right now because he's got to go get some calzones. Remember that joke?
Let's run that one back. Let's run back calzones.
Everyone loves that.
Kenjack rolled in from the your team just lost, now you have the podcast feeling, which is always really fucking annoying.
A six game win streak too snapped. It's terrible.
Yeah, you'd have been one game. I didn't realize you'd be one game out of first in the West with them playing the Rams. Or I guess technically two, because you lost to the Chiefs one. But still, you guys are still going to – I think you're going to be fine. Anyway, I guess that's it. Go see Fantastic Beasts 2 if you haven't already, and see Creed this weekend. Got to see Creed. We're gonna review Widows, too, in a few weeks. Ken Jack and I saw it. We're going to do a written review this week. We have a bunch of written reviews dropping. That, probably Bustin' Scruggs and The Hate U Give. Maybe Ken Jack. I think Boy Erased, too. And maybe Ken Jack will be able to squeeze in Can You Ever Forgive Me? I'm not sure. But if we can get all those in, we're going to.
If we could find somewhere it's fucking playing.
Yeah, they pulled it from one of the theaters. Now it's playing at the AMC by Penn Station, and then this other fucking Mark Cuban theater on the West Side Highway with like couches. There's couches in the theater. Have you seen this theater? I'm sending it to the group right now. Look at this. There's these full on fucking couches at this Mark Cuban theater.
Ooh, that looks gross. That looks like shit.
Ew.
I mean, that's gross, right?
Yeah. No.
That's what we should really make you do as a bet, is make you have to go sit in one of those with a stranger.
Oh. I don't know what I would do. I don't know what I would do. All right.
Foldable chair than that thing.
You just hear like the when they fart in that hot couch.
All right. Go see Fantastic Beasts. I'll say it again. For Ken, Jack, and Trill, we will talk to you on some point this week.
And have a good week at the box office.
Feeling like Jesus, undercover sweater ball main boo season. Summer feeling, winter feeling, rapping like I'm Weezer. Lord forgive me, he no praying when it hit the fan. Jesus, Cancun chilling by the pool, I can feel it. Almost in my goal, but I still hit loose swimming. Deuces up, ain't nobody reaching you, baby. Ain't nobody stopping you, baby. Right?